Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Well, the show, I think it's fair to say, ESPN insider, NFL insider, Dan Graziano. Good morning, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you?
It's fair to say friend of the show at this point, yes?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Why not?
We would like to go with that. So last we spoke
to you. Proud to be called that.
Yes, we appreciate that. Last we spoke to you, I think it was the day before the NFL draft, and you predicted for us that the Giants would take Wirfs out of Iowa. They went with Andrew Thomas, obviously, and a lot of people were wrong on that one. And then you start to hear in the days after that that so many teams had Thomas as their top-ranked offensive lineman. Did that just kind of like go unexpected? Does it shock you that the Giants took Thomas? Is that something that that so many teams liked? Go ahead.
I think when I made the prediction, I made it clear it was a guess. I think before the draft, you had those four top offensive tackles, and I felt like every time I talked to someone different, the list was in a different order, right? Like if some people had Tyson, some people had Becton, and some people, had Tristan Wirfs. I think it was not a surprise. I thought they were going to take an offensive tackle. I did not know who the number one guy was on their board, and obviously it was Thomas. And, he has experience playing at a high level in important games in college, and that appeals to them for sure. And it is outside my personal purview to be able to evaluate an offensive lineman, as a prospect. I'm not a scout, right? I don't have that kind of that training or skill. So hopefully for the Giants, they've done a better job evaluating this guy's long-term prospects than they did the last time they took an offensive lineman in the top 10.
Dan, I apologize. Dave going out of his way to try to embarrass you. I apologize for that.
That's all right. It's fine.
Let's get down to something that
he's
you
a
are...
friend of the show. You can't, yeah, but you can't embarrass a friend.
You try to.
You do whatever you want. I don't know. I didn't know what I was agreeing to there when I gave it the approval. But anyway, go on. What do you got?
That's why I got the approval.
Let's talk about something. Let's talk about something topical. After seeing the release of the 2020 schedule, anything at all that you've seen so far up to this point that surprised you at all with this schedule?
The focus for us has been so much on, are they going to play, or are they going to have to delay the season? Are they going to have to shorten the season? Are they going to play with no fans, et cetera? So I'm kind of looking at it with those eyes. And, you look early on, like they put some stuff in there that allows them some flexibility. Like if you look at week two, everybody has the same bye week as their week two opponent, right? So if all of a sudden you had to miss the first couple weeks of the season, week two could be easily rescheduled on the various bye weeks of those teams. There's no division games in week three and four, so if you had to shorten the season by a couple weeks, you could get rid of those weeks, and then nobody would lose a division game. There are some things that stood out once you dug into it a little bit. But, otherwise, if you look at it through as if it were a normal year, you can spot, who has the tough road stretches and who flies the most miles against Seattle this year. Seattle has five games in the Eastern time zone, which is like no big deal to them. They had six last year counting their playoff game, and they won them all. So I wonder if Seattle even requests some big travel because they're so proud of how well they play out here. I think it's – I don't know. Just the fact that they released it, the fact that they're still planning to play and play on time, I think those are the big parts of the story, and we'll see, obviously, over the next couple months what happens and whether they end up being right.
And Dan, that's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, based on what you're hearing, how confident is the league office that the season is going to start on September 10th?
Yeah, I think the word is optimistic and not confident, and I think there's obviously a critical difference there, and there's no way to be confident because nobody knows how the thing's going to unfold in the next couple months. The NFL has the benefit of time. They'll have the benefit of being able to watch what the NBA does, what Major League Baseball does, and learn from those things. But I think ultimately the hope is, and based on the people I've been talking to, the hope is that by September, right, that contracting the virus means something different than it did in April. that there are advances in testing and advances in treatment that put the whole thing in a different context, where we can go on with our lives to a certain some sort of normal extent, not completely back to the way it was, but on the road there, because there have been advances in medicines that can treat the virus and shorten the duration or reduce the severity, all that kind of stuff. So all the NFL's plans are based on consultation with medical experts who are talking to them about all this stuff and where it might go in the coming months. But, of course, they will tell you in the next breath, no one knows where it will go in the coming months. One person told me the other day, you know, we're crazy if we don't just reevaluate everything every 2 weeks. And I think that's sort of where they are.
Yeah, we have no idea where we're going to be come September. I think that's pretty obvious right now. Dan Graziano, friend of the show, joins us on 98.7 ESPN. So Giants over with the Steelers, the first of the two Monday night games on September the 14th right now. That's what the schedule says. And we discussed it earlier on the show. Giants catch the Steelers at a good time, I would think, right, Dan? I mean, with Roethlisberger coming off major surgery, 38 years old, you'd want to get Pittsburgh early on in the season rather than, I think, later on in the season, right?
Yeah, especially if we don't know if there's going to be a training camp. We know the offseason program is going to be shortened and different and virtual and all that. Yeah, I think you have a quarterback like Roethlisberger. If you have a player coming off of, you know, effectively a missed season, you would expect some rust going on. Sure, that's something for Giants fans to hang their hopes on there when you look ahead to the scheduled opener on Monday night against the Steelers. But, yeah, I think, you know, Pittsburgh has a very tough defense, one of the better defenses in the league last year, and the expectation is that they'll be a playoff contender again with Roethlisberger back. But I think you make a good point, which is that, you know, he might need a game or two to ease back into things after the significant injury. But the Bears don't get a lot of breaks, right? And at Chicago and home to the Niners, at the Rams, at the Cowboys, I mean, they're going to have to be on their A game for the first month or so if they want to get off to a decent start.
Dan, I don't even know if you can answer this question. If anyone can, it would be you. So you mentioned all the contingencies and everything else, being able to move the Super Bowl back if you want to, you know, maybe cut some games or put them in the, you know, back half of the back end of the season. What if, from the people that you're talking to, you know, what's the appetite for the NFL to actually start the season with, you know, no fans in stands? If that were the case where they felt like, you know, if we wait a couple extra weeks and we can start the season with fans, would that be something that they would consider as opposed to playing games with no fans?
I think so. My understanding is that they're going through all possibilities, right? Do we play with fans in the stands? Can we play with no fans in the stands? Can we open our stadiums at 30% capacity, 50% capacity? So they're going over all these possibilities. But if you were told, by the CDC and who, you know, the local governments, the federal government, if you were told, yes, in your season's supposed to start on September 10th, but if you wait till September 24th, you can fill your stadiums, and that were rock solid, and you knew it for a fact, I think that's absolutely conceivable that the league would slide the season back 2 weeks if it meant that. I mean, honestly, look, the bulk of the NFL's revenue is generated from the TV contracts, and my understanding is it's something like 75% of what they would be making in terms of revenue they'd still make it, even if they played games with no fans in the stands. So I think if that has to happen, they'll do it. But certainly they would rather have that remaining 25% available to them if possible. So everything they're doing, and, you know, people get upset, and I understand it's a very sensitive issue, and it should be. Everything that the NFL is discussing is all set in the context of if we get the go-ahead to even try this stuff. And they're operating as if they will, and if they don't, then obviously they'll adjust when the time comes.
Dan, you must be reading my mind or something, because I was just about to ask you about the TV contracts with the NFL. I mean, the owners made the push earlier this year to negotiate the new CBA with the players so they could get to the business of negotiating the media rights deals with the TV companies. Do you have any insight as to how this pandemic is affecting those negotiations?
My understanding is that the negotiations have continued, or at least have not broken off. In certain cases, I think I would still expect the TV deals to get extended, And honestly, I think if I'm the NFL, and this is a possibility that was raised to me in a phone call just yesterday, if I'm the NFL and I'm doing a deal with, let's just say, Fox, you know, just to pick someone random, I would say, look, let's front load this deal, right? Why don't we put more money in the first year or two and then help us make up for the lost revenue we're going to be dealing with in terms of no fans in the stands, maybe loss of preseason games, that kind of thing. And then maybe on the back end, you know, you get a little bit of a deal for helping us out now. So those kinds of conversations, I think, are still taking place. And I still think, I think, and I know we're one of them, so I obviously don't want to speak from a position of authority because I don't have insight into, you know, ESPN, ABC, and their plans for spending on NFL rights. But I would think that there's a long view being taken that this will not always be our circumstances. And at some point, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that these networks are still going to want to be broadcasting NFL games. And as a result, I do think that they'll continue to push forward with those negotiations.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN NFL Insider. So a lot of people, and I don't know that it's right, but a lot of people have thought that maybe Cam Newton winds up in Jacksonville. Diana Rossini is just reporting that Mike Glennon is going to sign down in Jacksonville with the Jaguars. Where do you think Newton winds up? I mean, can you give us a couple of ideas of where you think? Because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of options for him at this point.
There aren't a lot of options for him, and it's a complicated scenario. Like, I don't know. If Jacksonville gets into its offseason and decides it needs Cam Newton, I'm not entirely sure that Mike Glennon's going to be the thing that stands in the way of that, right? I think that's apples to oranges. The problem with Newton is, you know, he just missed a whole season with a foot injury, and he had shoulder surgery the offseason before that. And so you don't know what you're signing at this point. You can't go give him a physical because, you know, not allowed. And until your doctors can get a look at the foot. I mean, the foot's a big deal because if Cam Newton can't run, then what kind of player is he, right? And is he a player you want? And is he a player that can help you? And he's certainly not the player that you would give the size contract to that you would a Cam Newton who can run. So there are a lot of questions teams can't get answered about Cam Newton right now. Combine that with the fact that, as you mentioned, there aren't a lot of quarterback jobs, certainly starting quarterback jobs, available right now. And you have a slow market that I think will continue to be slow until some sort of circumstance changes. Maybe somebody gets hurt. Maybe somebody like a Jacksonville or a New England, you know, gets into the offseason and says, we're not as set at this position as we hoped we would be. Let's reevaluate this Cam Newton situation. So I think that's where things stand with Newton. And at this point, I think until teams can really get their doctors to look at him and check him out, he's going to have a hard time finding a place to land.
Dan Graziano joins us here in the show. Dan, what is the sense from the people that you talk to about the amount of pressure on Adam Gase this upcoming season? Is he, I mean, does he need to have a huge jump and have a winning season for him to keep his job?
I think what you want to see with the Jets is progress, right? You want to end the season feeling like things are, you know, moving forward, right? If it's another season like they've had, if they go backwards, if there's a lot of, you know, flailing around about changing the roster here and there, moving guys in and out, like you saw the last couple of years when Gase was in Miami, then I think, you know, you probably have trouble. And I don't know whether they would do it after 2 years or not, but I think if you see progress, if you see the Jets in a, you know, I think the AFC East teams kind of look and go, this might be the time to make some moves here because New England looks a little shaky. We'll see if they actually are. You know, I wouldn't bet against Belichick. But if the Jets show progress, if they contend, if they, you know, I know they were flirting with 500 last year, but if they stay in it and they, you know, contend for the playoffs and things look like they're moving forward, I think he'd probably be fine, especially if you really come out of this season thinking, wow, things look really great with Sam Darnold. Darnold, we know last year, had a weird year with mono and all that, so maybe you get a pass on, like, his development and where it would have been otherwise. But if you're coming out of this year and Sam Darnold was playing very, very well and you feel good about his future, then I think that keeps things status quo in terms of the coaching staff.
Dan, pass interference review is officially dead. The competition committee didn't even put it to a vote because it didn't get any support. They don't want to get into the business of continuing to challenge subjective calls by officials. But I guess that brings into question another point of view, which is making sure that the officials get these calls right in real time because you recognize what's at stake. Has there been any conversation about any changes to the officiating of people in the league office or adding an official to the crews and on the games? Has there been any talk about a way to try to improve the officiating in the game moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, there has been. And this offseason's been strange because the meetings that usually take place, the owners' meetings, et cetera, you know, in March and in May, haven't been able to get together, obviously. But there has been, and Kevin Seifert for us has done a really good job of chronicling the discussions about changes to the officiating department. And I think Kevin wrote back in March that they were trying to lure back Dean Blandino, you know, who used to oversee officiating and then went to Fox. But there's a lot of discussion about making changes in that department in terms of moving some people around and maybe, you know, expanding certain responsibilities, just changing sort of the way it operates. And I think you will see some of that announced at some point this offseason, whether it means people get moved in and out of different jobs or whether it means the workflow is different in terms of review and all that kind of stuff. I do think the NFL will make that part of their offseason changes to that. Specifically what they'll be, I think, remains to be seen. But there's definitely conversation about changing aspects of the officiating department there on Park Avenue.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I have an NFC South question, which is usually left to Rick because he's our NFC South insider. But I'm gonna go here. Do you look at this as still New Orleans' division to win, or is this even footing with New Orleans and Tampa Bay right now?
Oh, I think you still have to look at it as New Orleans' division to win because, I mean, we can look at Tampa Bay and like what they've done. And obviously, I mean, Tom Brady, very exciting, but we haven't seen them play together, right? We've seen New Orleans Saints win the division 3 years in a row. We know what they look like. And, yes, their playoff exits have been painful and sometimes inexplicable and sometimes unfair. But they have been consistently good, and it's basically the same group that's been consistently good enough to win the division. So I think you still have to look at it as their division to win. I mean, heck, the quarterback is like 2 or 3 years younger than Tampa Bay's, right? So he's like a spring chicken compared to Brady. So I think it's fascinating. I mean, I hopefully, you know, Tampa Bay makes an exciting year. You'd hate for that to be a disappointment after all the hype. But, yeah, and certainly they could win it. I mean, there would be people that are going to pick them, and justifiably so. But for me personally, I still think it's New Orleans until somebody knocks them off.
All right, Dan, last one for me, and I'm asking for a friend. In your opinion, gut feeling, what ends up happening with Dak Prescott in this contract situation?
That, I believe Dak Prescott will sign a contract extension with the Cowboys and play there a very long time. They have until July 15th to get it done, or else he has to play on the franchise tag. Dak Prescott, you know, and his family are dealing with a terrible tragedy right now, the loss of his brother a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, the Cowboys are giving him, you know, they're not pushing him on the contract while they're dealing with that. So they have time. Both sides understand that there's time. Both sides are optimistic that it will work out. Both sides feel that they want each other, right? I mean, Dak knows the Cowboys want him. They've offered him a ton of money. And the Cowboys believe that Dak doesn't want to go anywhere. So I think it'll get done at some point before that July 15th deadline.
Dan, I know there are a lot of what-ifs out there right now, but the NFL has had some speculation around potentially holding games on Saturday if there's no college football played. Is that something that you could see? Are there provisions in the schedule that would allow it? How do you think that that's something that the NFL will actually do?
I think it's something to look into if there's availability. You see, in a normal year, that they have Saturday games. I think usually 16 and 17 when the college season is over, you know,
correct,
before the playoffs start. So it has been something that they've taken advantage of in the past. I got to be honest, I'm not sure whether they put Saturday games in. I didn't look at that aspect of it when everything was happening last night. So I'm going to check it out now and see. But no, they. I think it's something that they would consider, certainly. But to do it now, and kind of Bigfoot the college season before the college season even knows what's going on, it seemed kind of rude, wouldn't it? I mean, especially for a league that has kind of tried to be respectful of college football as an institution anyway. So I think if there's a vacancy and they could do it, I think it's something the league would definitely consider. But I don't think it's automatic that they would do that, especially while the college schedule is so up in the air.
Dan, good stuff as always. I want to ask you this real quickly before we let you go. Rick looks at this as one of the highlights of his career. Do you remember sitting and doing a three-hour show with Rick DiPietro on a Saturday?
I do. Was it a Saturday or was it a? I thought it was.
No, it was a weeknight. It was a weeknight.
Yeah,
it was a 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock start. Yeah.
I think I traveled that day. I think I was covering a game and came back in and then went into the city to do that show. I do remember it. Yeah, I don't remember what time. I guess it was NFL season, so we must have been talking that. I don't remember too many of the topics, but I do remember being in that studio with Rick for sure.
Nice. All right.
No, you don't remember, Dan. You don't remember because you probably just subconsciously just decided to throw it out of your mind. That was when you showed up, and we were supposed to talk NFL, but then remember like 90 seconds before the show was going to start, the New Jersey high school hazing story came out. So we had to lead the show with that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. I don't. I guess I was tired from the flight that morning, and therefore it's not in my memory banks. I'll stick with that story.
All right, Dan. Good stuff. We appreciate it. We're glad that you can join us as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Enjoyed it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, good stuff. The great Dan Graziano on 98.7 ESPN.
So yeah, it wasn't Marconi worthy. I can tell you that.
You say that, but I would love to get the tapes of that one.
No, it wasn't good. It was not.
No.
Good.
It was
I
bad,
can't imagine
or
it was
just
no. I can't imagine it was good. No, it was fine. I mean, I can't imagine it was great.
But you're talented and you're good, and he's talented and he's terrific. So
yeah, but we're on. I mean, you're talking about a hazing story. I mean, there's not many places you can go with the hazing story.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't an uplifting start to
the
show.
Open. No, it was not. I wanted to ask Dan too. We got to get him on again because this is going
right
to be
now?
I mean, this. No. It wasn't the right time to ask him because we were talking, you know, more. You know, schedule stuff and everything else, but at some point over the next couple of weeks, this is going to be more of a story. Just because it's actually an interesting idea with the Jim Harbaugh letter, I wonder how willing the NFL would be to consider something like that.
Well, get into it. Go ahead, explain a little bit.
Well, no. So Jim Harbaugh wants. I mean, he had the open letter suggested that college football players get to decide when they wanted to, you know, make themselves eligible to be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And then if, you know, they don't get drafted, like say they say, okay, I'm going to leave and I want to go into the draft. They don't get drafted. They still have their eligibility and can return to school.
Kind of like what you have with college basketball.
Yeah, and it's similar to like NHL, you can get drafted and then decide not to sign and then go back to school if you'd like.
Right.
Yeah, like with college basketball too. Like as long as you don't hire an agent, if you decide that you don't like where you went or something like that, you can go back to school.
But does his proposal say you can go through the draft, like all the way through the draft, not get drafted, and then go back to school?
Yes.
Yeah, because college basketball is you can go up to a certain point, and then you have to pull out of the draft, right? You can't go through the actual draft.
Yes. Yes.
So little dissimilarity. But, yeah, interesting, certainly.
Yeah, but I don't know. See, I don't know what the NFL would say to that. Just because all of a sudden now, I mean, you got, you know, one of these guys that's just that good. After his freshman year, decides that he wants to go into the draft, gets drafted. I mean, we always say it. It's not, you know, it's not what you get paid. It's how many times you get paid. And now all of a sudden, you get this kid after only 1 year of college. I mean, how many you're going to pay that guy a lot of money if he has a long career?
Yeah, it doesn't really work out for teenagers when they get into the NFL, though.
No,
I mean, you had that one situation with Amobi Okoye when he was a teenager and got into the NFL. You had the same thing or a similar situation with the wide receiver from USC, Mike Williams. Neither one of those guys really panned out. I just feel like it's such a huge difference from a physical maturation standpoint that you're probably not talking about a lot of guys that can leave after 1 or 2 years of college and go to the NFL.
Like Trevor Lawrence should be able to leave, like a guy like that. Like Trevor Lawrence should.
He's worthy of the NFL now, yes.
And running backs. I feel bad for the running backs. You know what I mean? Just because their shelf life in the NFL is not
right.
Again, guys, I just it's one of those things. It's a whole different world when you talk about going from college football to the NFL from a physicality standpoint. Like I just don't know that it's possible.
Well, I think you could have a, I mean, you could have a running back after 2 years. I mean, if he's a, if he plays his true freshman year and he plays as a sophomore, that decides after his, you know, his second year he wants to get drafted. I think it would be position by position. I think a running back could do it.
So the guy that probably gets hit the most out of any of the ball carriers, you think that that would be a position that he could do it and be successful at it?
Yeah, after 2 years as opposed to 3 years? When you're going to make the argument that the running back is you want to keep as much tread on your tires as possible? I'd rather use that tread in the NFL than in college.
No, I
mean, look how many times Jonathan Taylor carried the ball at Wisconsin. They beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Rick. I get what you're saying. I just don't think that, I think the NFL is different than other sports in terms of how brutally physical it is. It's a collision sport. And your body has to physically mature in order to be able to withstand that. And that's the thing that you just don't know when you start talking about a kid being 1 or 2 years removed from high school as opposed to 3 or 4 years removed. So I just, like I said, it'd be interesting to see if it ever happens. But I guess I'm skeptical of it just because I know the physicality of the game at that level.
And listen, you're not wrong. I mean, for the most part, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, but you're a good guy that's thinking about, I mean, you, when you say you're concerned about the safety of the players, you mean it. We all know the answer.
Yeah, I mean it because it is a real chance every time you walk on that field, you might not ever walk off it. That's the thing that I worry about.
No, I know you do. I don't think the NFL does.
I don't think they do at all.
Yeah, so I think it's just, I mean, it's given, you know, the kids the opportunity if they can do it. Now, a lot of them get bad advice and everything else. That's why you get to go back to school if you choose, but
that's not a good look for the NFL either, though. You guys say the NFL is not worried about it at all. I mean, you're talking about concussions a decade ago almost crippling the sport. Look at youth participation in football. It steadily declined every single year. So, yeah, the NFL is absolutely worried about the optics if you have young kids coming into the league before they're physically ready and they get seriously injured. That affects the bottom line eventually.
Yeah, but it all goes back to the bottom line.
I understand that, Dave, but again, if you have these incidences because these kids aren't physically ready to play and they get seriously hurt, if they get paralyzed or if they suffer a lot of concussions, yeah, that becomes a PR problem, which starts to affect your money.
Yeah, but I guess Jim Harbaugh's point is this. Like, so just say, I mean, there's no number of concussions that you know would, I mean, who knows? Like, I've had however many, you've had however many. Like, there's no clear cut. If you have this many concussions, you could get CTE. Like, you don't even know. But let's just say for the sake of this conversation that if that number was 10, right? If you had 10 concussions and once you get past that point, you're more likely to get CTE. Let's be honest. I'm not getting paid in college. I'm getting paid in the NFL. So why would I waste, you know, those concussions not getting paid when I can use them up getting paid? Like, why not let me make that decision as opposed to having to stay, you know, for a certain amount of years before I can earn a living? That would be the argument, I guess.
I get your argument, but I mean, it goes back to one of the things that we always talk about. Sometimes you got to protect the athlete from themselves. And so I guess there's that balance that you have to strike. You have to weigh all of the different factors and then come to the conclusion that's in the best interest of everyone.
And there are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Here's what you can do. Wash your hands, avoid close contact with people who are sick, avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Stay home when you're sick, cover your cough or sneeze, clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. People still lined up, want to talk NFL, let's do that with them, 800-919-3776. Dave and Edison. Dave, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're okay. What's going on, Dave?
I'm a Cowboys fan, but I want to give Rick some hope here with the Jets. You know, Adam Gase, when he had Ryan Tannehill or Sam Darnold as his quarterback, has a record of 20-17. When any other quarterback starts for him, he's 10-17. So I think if you keep Sam Darnold healthy for 16 games, I think the Jets make the playoffs.
Playoffs, huh?
Yeah, but the problem is Sam hasn't stayed healthy. I appreciate it, but I mean, that's... I mean, from your lips to God's ears. Hopefully he stays healthy for all 16, and this is a team that's competing for the playoffs at the end of the season.
Only thing I'll say is last year was not a traditional injury. I mean, he got mono, which is, you know, not like he broke his leg, not like it was a, you know, dislocated
finger. But he was banged up. No, he was banged up. I mean,
but he would have played through banged up.
Yeah, he would have played through banged up. Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, here's the other thing with Adam Gase, though. I mean, he's supposed to be, I mean, the reason why he has this job is because he's supposed to be great at what he does on the offensive side of the ball.
Don't do it, Rick. Don't do it. Don't fall into the trap. They're trying to get you to fall into the trap. Don't do it.
I won't do it. I'm not going to
do it.
Don't do it.
Make it cathartic. Go ahead.
I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I flew it to the top.
All the way up. Overflowing.
Only positivity. Flew it to the top.
Let's go to Chris in Wausau. Chris, you're on 98.7.
What's up, guys? I just wanted to kind of back up the last caller. Like, I don't know how you look at the Jets' schedule and honestly say we had a lot of roster turnover and look at the rest of the schedule. And outside the 49ers, the Chiefs, and the Seahawks, every other team on our schedule has had just as much roster turnover, and at least five of the teams have a new quarterback most likely playing for them. I feel like a new quarterback is going to be a harder thing to get around than a new line. And then Josh Allen, who can't hit any receiver who hits a curl, has to deal with Stephon Diggs complaining. I think we have such an easy schedule, and then you guys look at the
You think you have an easy schedule?
Yes, I do. Outside
an easy
teams,
schedule?
Yes, I really do. Outside of the Chiefs, the 49ers, and the Seahawks, I don't look at a team as not a winnable game. And you can tell me which one is not a winnable game. Tell me.
I think they're winnable, but that doesn't mean they're easy.
Okay, but you looked at our first 4 weeks against the Colts, the Broncos.
So you think you beat the Bills week one in Buffalo? You think that's a win?
I think we're splitting one of them. So if you want to give the Bills that one, that's fine. We can go.
All right. So if I give the Bills that one, and one of your three difficult games is the following week, now you're sitting here at 0-2, right?
2-2 because we're beating the Colts and the Broncos. They're nothing to worry about. Then the next week, we get the Patriots, and the Patriots are
no. You get the Cardinals, and then you get
okay,
at the Chargers.
Cardinals is a game we can win, or you don't know exactly with the Cardinals. But you guys looked at the Giants' first 4 weeks, and you looked at that as like a cakewalk. The first 4 weeks for the Giants,
a cakewalk. What show have you been listening to that we looked at the Giants' first four weeks and said this is a cakewalk?
First 4 weeks, and you thought it was impossible, but then you looked at the Giants' first 4 weeks. You're like, oh, that's no big deal. That's not Murderous Row. You would be lucky to get one of those wins in the first 4 weeks.
So here's what I'm gathering from you, is you're one of these Jets fans that's very, very uncomfortable in your own skin. You're right. You're very uncomfortable and you hate the Giants, right? Is that what you are?
No. I think your team's pretty good. I'm just saying you were going off on the Jets schedule to start the show. And then as soon as you look at the Giants, you're like, oh, this isn't hard at all.
I never said that. You're putting words into my mouth.
It's just the tone you use. You guys are looking at the Giants.
Oh my God!
The Giants' schedule like it was so easy, and then you were looking at the Jets' schedule like it was like the toughest thing ever. The Jets have to play the Dolphins and the Patriots twice. That's four games with a new quarterback. You're going to tell me those aren't easy wins?
The Dolphins don't have a new quarterback.
You're out of your mind.
The Dolphins don't have a new quarterback. Timeout. The Dolphins. Timeout. As we sit here today, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback for the Dolphins. And you lost to an 0-7 Dolphins team last season.
Wow.
Are four wins?
So relax.
Four wins.
Yeah, easy.
When you look at the schedules, when you look at the schedules, part of the conversation has to be this, though, too. I mean, it's clear where the Giants are at, right? Like, the Giants are rebuilding. Can we all agree with that?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. So there's different expectations for both of these teams. If you're a Jets fan, coming off a 7-9 season, especially if you're one where the Jets could do no wrong, you're looking for improvement. You're looking for this team now, all of a sudden, with the new playoff format, to be a playoff team, especially with no Tom Brady in the division. Here's your opportunity. I don't think you look at the Giants the same way. You got a quarterback going into his second year, and you got a rookie head coach. You can't have the same expectations.
I don't.
I wasn't saying that. It was just you guys were talking like the Jets have. We can't win 10 games with our schedule. There isn't six games on the schedule. There's only three games you can look at as L's. You guys don't look at us like we have a chance at the playoffs.
But you're 6-point underdogs against the Bills in week one.
Gase does not do the dumb things he did all year, which is throw the ball with a lead and run it when you're behind. And all the dumb things like give Ty Montgomery 20 carries when Le'Veon Bell doesn't play. If he can actually coach competent, we're making the playoffs. It's all on Adam Gase. We have an easy schedule and
an easy schedule. It's an easy schedule.
Games. You can't tell me the Patriots are not beatable. They lost half their defense and Tom Brady. Second half of the year last year, the Patriots were not good. They were bad.
How were the Jets last year, Chris? How were the Jets?
Awful. And then the second half, we were pretty decent. And it wasn't that. Adam Gase was awful. I'm not denying that.
But if our coach is competent, we have a great team. Our defense was destroyed last year. Our defense was destroyed.
Yeah, but timeout. But timeout. Timeout. Take a deep breath for a quick second. Yeah, I mean, you just keep saying if our coach is competent. Well, what all of a sudden now makes you believe that Adam Gase is going to be competent?
Rick, I'm like you, man. I'm not allowed to be negative.
Okay, but just don't be. You lose credibility when you sound, you know, crazy optimistic.
I mean, you guys said that the first 4 weeks for the Giants was a cakewalk. How is the Steelers a cakewalk?
I never said the first 4 weeks
was a cakewalk.
Chris.
That was 9-7 without Big Ben.
Chris.
Oh my God.
Chris, listen. Let somebody else do some talking. Nobody ever said the first four games for the Giants was easy. We just said that the first four games for the Giants, they're catching one of their opponents at the right time. In the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Chicago Bears, we don't know what's going on with their quarterback situation. If you got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterback. And then with the Los Angeles Rams, they're a team that's retooling. So those are three of the Giants' first four opponents. There's a real chance that the Giants could get a couple of wins in those first four games. That's all we said.
I know, but can their defenses stop your offense?
What?
Can those three defenses stop your offense?
Can those three? Sure, absolutely.
Could your defense stop their offense?
Well, we don't know what their offense is going to be. That's the biggest question. We have no idea what those offenses are going to be.
Chris,
we can't talk at the same time. My point was saying that we don't know what the Steelers' offense is going to be because we don't know what their quarterback's going to be. Same thing with Chicago. With the Rams, they lost a lot of key pieces this offseason. We don't know what that team is going to be. We have no idea. That was the point I was making.
All right. You know what? Fine. You know, I think I probably got a little over the top when you guys said
oh, you think?
We're going to go 1-3 in the first 4 weeks. I don't see how you can look at the Jets going 1-3 in the first 4 weeks.
Hang on. We can't keep you on forever, but you don't see how it's possible that with at the Bills, home to the Niners, at the Colts, home to the Broncos, that the Jets in any way could be 1-3 through four games.
To the Colts and the Broncos, I don't see any way we could lose to either one of those teams. I seriously do not.
You don't think at Indianapolis is a game that you could lose?
Even when Andrew Luck was there, they could not get over us. That was the Colts. I could always look at it. We always beat them. You could look at the last 6 years. They never get us.
Always beat them. Didn't the Colts embarrass us?
Woo-hoo.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it a couple years ago?
Yeah, was it a Monday night game?
Yeah, they destroyed us.
Yeah.
It might have been the most embarrassing game I've ever witnessed as a Jets fan, I believe.
Yeah, that was bad.
The Patriots
that
game
was bad.
Last year. Yeah, all right, Chris, we got to go. But thanks for some sensational points. I don't mind having a conversation, but it's lunacy with some of these
pudding,
people.
Eat the pudding.
None of the games are easy. Here's the thing, though. I mean, if you look at these games, especially in the first month of the season for both teams, I mean, you're going to sound even more negative if you just go through them. I mean, I think what you're doing is... You know, breaking down the Giants is, I mean, if there is a hope that you could win these games, here's why you could win these games. It's what you try to do, but no one really knows. I mean, just forecasting. You don't know what these teams are
going to
look
like. The Jets start out 2-2? Yeah, I guess they could, but I don't think the first, and nobody said the Giants' first four games are easy. I mean, he's just making stuff up. It's not true. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Here's what you do. You click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com, find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. 800-919-3776. Last Dance episode 7 and 8 this Sunday night at 9 o'clock, 9 and 10 o'clock. So, of course, we'll watch that and recap it on Monday morning. Big UFC fight tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. So it's like a sports weekend, Rick. Like there's actually a couple of things involving the world of sports you can get involved with this weekend.
Yeah, we got my KBO team too playing early tomorrow morning.
How they looking? They still undefeated?
Still undefeated, yeah. They got the 4 a.m., 3:55-ish start Saturday morning. So check that out.
That's
UFC, can't wait for that.
Bundesliga comes back next week. Did I see that there's tennis? Did you see that there's some kind of a tennis, like, mini round robin in Florida this weekend?
It is Florida, so, I mean, that could be happening.
Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm really focused on the NFC South, so I could make some phone calls.
Did that excite you when I mentioned NFC South with Dan? Were you like, ooh, piqued your interest?
Yeah, you know, I mean, of course, I mean, Cassie's from Tampa, so I'm sitting here, I have three schedules. Giants, Jets, and what do you think the third schedule printed out is?
I think we know it. Five primetime games for that team, huh? Five.
Mm-hmm. Giants. Yeah, that including the Monday night, November 2nd, up here at MetLife.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's go to James in the Bronx. James, you're next up on 98.7.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, James?
What's up? What's up, Chris? It's your BX brother.
What's going on, man?
Ain't nothing much. I just want to talk to you guys. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about the new coaches on the Giants. How much of a difference you think Garrett is going to help the new coach with the Giants and the scheming-wise?
Well, I think even beyond the scheme, Jason Garrett brings a lot of value just because he was a head coach for a decade. And so when you have somebody that's new in that role, Jason Garrett can be a resource for Joe Judge to lean on in terms of understanding the nuances that come along with being a head coach, understanding what's important, what to pay attention to, and what you can ignore. I think that's probably the hardest part in any new job, just figuring out, you know, how to navigate your day-to-day, you know, business. And Jason Garrett has got to be an invaluable resource for Joe Judge in that regard.
I didn't hear much about the defensive coordinator. What do you think about him?
I mean, he's been around the National Football League. He's had stints in Miami and Green Bay. He wants to run multiple defenses. He talks a lot about the sub packages, nickel, dime, exotic looks. So I think the creativity is something that you have to think is a positive for the Giants, just because you know they're missing some pieces on that side of the ball. Some of the things in terms of being able to manufacture pass rush, they're going to have to do it by smoke and mirrors, because they don't have dominant edge rushers. So the fact that he's willing to do it a lot of different ways, to use a lot of different looks, I think that has to be a positive.
Oh, thanks, brother. I appreciate you all the time.
All right, James. Good stuff. We appreciate the phone call.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.